Okay, here we are. Welcome to this week's webcast and the dynamic duo. How you doing, Mark?
I'm doing very well, thank you, Barry.
My goodness. I hope everybody's having a great summer. And if you're down under, then it's your, I guess it's the opposite, but hopefully it's everything's going well on the southern hemisphere as well. But here we are again, my brother. I don't know how you and I can follow up on Helene King. She was just spectacular.
Hard act to follow, I think.
How's your week been?
It's been actually very busy at work. I think there's a lot of clients who are taking advantage of the lockdown to actually get their stuff into us.
Yes.
So I'm further ahead with work than I've ever been for many, many years.
Oh, and my goodness.
We've got someone away from the office at the moment, so I'm trying to cover for her as well. So, yeah, it's been really busy. A lot of challenges there, but it's okay. It's nice to have this evening.
So with the lockdown, you don't feel like it's been much of a lockdown, I guess, eh?
In a lot of ways, it's been pretty similar. I mean, I go to work most days. Fiona's been walking the dog as she would normally do.
Yeah.
Obviously, we can't see the family, which probably, like you, is the thing we miss the most.
Yeah.
Although we are seeing them gradually, bit by bit.
Yeah.
And I noticed the other day that the high street in the town where I work, it was just really quiet. And I thought, why is it so quiet? And I looked out the window and there's no traffic. And then I remembered they were making the high street pedestrian only.
Oh.
So they had these queues out of the shops and, you know, people keeping 2 meters apart. And so we now have a multicolored pavement with yellow, blue and red and green indicators of 2 meters, 1 meter, whatever.
Yes. So, well, we just actually entered what we call, I think it's phase two. And mm-hmm. and in Ontario where we live, and it's now we can see up to 10 people.
Okay.
We can, and it's encouraging bubbles. So we have our family bubble, which we can see, which is just because we had Father's Day last Sunday, so that was a wonderful opportunity to see our little chickadees and grandchildren. So yeah, but before we get started, can you talk a little bit more about what's happening next week?
Yeah, next week, Barry and I are starting off a new venture. We've done many new ventures together in our time. And so we're starting off a series of seminars on Monday afternoon. And we're running it Monday afternoon. This is UK time. Monday afternoon, Tuesday afternoon, and Wednesday afternoon. And we're doing two sessions each afternoon. So Barry and I will do one session each. And then after that, we're following it with a Zoom question and answer discussion session with us and the participants. The sessions will be delivered in a similar format to this, but actually using YouTube rather than Facebook. But it will look very, very similar to this. And we're kind of covering some foundational things. Topics we've done many times on the webcast, but we're putting it together in much more of a series with a flow towards it, and really just inviting people to make that commitment of time to join us through this journey. I mean, in a sense, people could pick the topics off the archives, but there's something about giving a period of time, making a commitment, it actually opens our heart and we do receive more. So we're kicking off on Monday, looking at the biblical revelation of God as Father, the role our parents play. We're looking at the orphan heart, our identity. We're looking at a childlike heart. We're looking at the power of weakness. So that's kind of the topics we're covering. I'm asking people to sign up if they want to join us. And you can do that on my website at fathertoyou.com/seminars. There's all the information. There's a program. When you sign up, I'll send you all the links for the meetings next week. And this is kind of part one. In September, and I got the dates fixed now, in September I'm doing part two with Wynette from the Netherlands, and that's really looking at the Father's comfort. So we're going to be looking at our hearts again. We're going to be looking at the whole big issue of shame. And we're going to talk about the mother heart of God and comfort in a lot of detail. And then the third part will probably be in October. And I'm doing now a Trevor Galpin. And that's the depth of Father's love. So kind of like three different series. You don't have to do part one to do part two. You don't have to do parts one and two to do part three. But we're kicking it off on Monday. Really looking forward to it. Got 50 people signed up already for it. Kind of put a limit of about 100 because that's what Zoom allows me to have. But I think Barry and I are both looking forward to it.
Absolutely, my brother. And so there is still time to sign up if you would like to do that. One of the things that Mark and I have been doing this now. We're just wrapping up our 10th year of doing webcasts, and it's kind of interesting, I think, how we have morphed and developed and learned and continue to learn over the years, and having ourselves in this particular circumstance worldwide, it seems, with all of us not being able to travel and things. It just seems like it's a time, right? It's for a time such as this, and anybody who's been on the webcast with us over the years, that we really trust and believe that the Holy Spirit is within us, and He's with you, He knows no time or space, and so we have high expectations in a really good way that the Father's going to meet all of us in this journey together. And because after the sessions, we're going to have a conversation, a Zoom, where we can actually have meaningful discussion about what we taught, which is a little bit different than anything we've done on the webcast. You could chat, but now we're going to be all in the same room. And being that it's all condensed within a few days, I think I'm just looking forward to how this is going to touch all of us. So yeah, right on.
So next week, next Wednesday, we won't be doing a webcast on the Wednesday evening. Right. We said that, didn't we, Barry? Yeah, because we will have been doing from two o'clock to 5:30. And we just felt we probably couldn't do the evening as well. So next week, next Wednesday evening, there won't be the normal webcast. But the following Wednesday the 8th, have a special. Barry is... You can tell us what you're doing in a minute, but Barry's doing something else that week. But Wednesday, the 8th of July, we have a guest joining me, Trevor Galpin. Trevor and I are going to have a discussion on why we do what we do. And if we were sitting in the same living room, we would probably be sitting in nice, comfortable chairs with a glass of something appropriate, with our feet up on the table and just chatting about how we, how much we enjoy what we do, why we do it, the revelation that stirred our hearts. And it's kind of like, I was going to say a fireside chat, but with this temperature, we don't need the fire. But, so that's 2 weeks' time. Yeah. But Barry, what are you doing that week?
Well, I am doing what we're doing next week, and that is in Toronto, Catch the Fire, the School of Ministry for Leaders, which would typically I would do, and I've been doing for many years now, in person, on site, with people from around the world gathering. But because of the situation, our dear friends have transitioned, or are transitioning at least for this school, into an online format. So I'm going to be doing what we do and live and connecting, praying for the students. I've got all these sessions that they'll be going through pre-recorded, and yeah, so I'll have my hands full that week. Well,
how many sessions are you doing that week, Barry?
There's I think 15 sessions that are recorded, that have been pre-recorded, but then I will have 10 sessions that week where we'll be live after the students have watched the videos. So that's where we get a chance to pray, and they ask questions and unpack more. And so that's to do with time zones, two different time zones, one in the morning, one in the evening. So yeah, it's all good. It's all new. And we're up for it, aren't we, mate?
We are. It feels like we've been practicing for this for 10 years.
Yes. So before we start, Mark, would you mind just opening in prayer? Then I'll get going. Then I'm going to bring you back. So there'll be a test. So if you can just make sure that you take notes.
just give me a few seconds warning.
Yes. Yes. If I don't hear from you, I'll know that perhaps you've
coffee or something.
You went to get a coffee. So, but yeah, if you could open in prayer, that would be awesome.
Yeah, we're sure. Father, thank you once again for your amazing love for us. Thank you that you are ever present. That you are ever present. You are our help in times of need. You're our comfort in times of trouble. And Father, we thank you that your love is surrounding each one of us right now. And I just ask, Father, that as we talk together this evening, there would be just a beautiful sense of your love and your presence in each and every household that's represented on this video, this webcast. That, Father, your presence would be tangible with us this evening. And just as we share and just as we talk, Father, we just ask that you would speak words of life and words of love and words of encouragement into the depths of our heart. So that you'll take us deeper into this great ocean of your love for us. Father, we thank you for one another. We thank you for this family that you've joined us to all around the world. And we just ask for your blessing to be poured out upon us. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, my brother, and I will be calling on you shortly.
My pleasure.
Well, so this is, I'm going to be sharing a few of my thoughts today. I have absolutely no idea how this is going to go. It's amazing that I always find it's interesting how God speaks to us. He speaks to us as in our own language, in which we understand, and because each and every one of us is unique. And how I say it is, many times that the Father will speak to me like a father would speak to a son. And so I just want to kind of explain the just the origin. It's incredibly simplistic what I felt that he said about tonight in this webcast. But I just want to encourage you that it's how he speaks to his kids. And I'm a very visual person, so I'm a very simplistic person, so I require simplicity. Anything that it gets, I have an incredible respect and honoring for complexities in the kingdom and unpacking the mysteries. But I personally, just how I'm wired, I just really need simplicity. And one of the things, you know, as I'm talking about this, I'm going to have this sermon aid illustration just to start with this. But one of the things that I really, you know, when I thought about that, you know, Jesus, when he was on planet Earth in the Gospels, when he was talking to shepherds, you know, he told stories about sheep. You know, when he was talking to farmers, he told stories about farming and sowing and planting and reaping and those things. Jesus was very, very very, very practical, very, very salt of the earth, as far as he was talking to the uneducated and the simple of heart and of course little kids. So keep that in mind as I just share what I'm going to share. Again, I've got a few scriptures down, but I'm not sure exactly, you know, where it's going to go. But so Mark was talking to me and he said, Barry, can you know, do you have any thoughts about today? And in as I was thinking about it, I just had this picture. And so I'm going to show you something. I went out to a children's toy store and I got two magnets. And so when I think of this, I think of the yellow magnet as representing God and the green magnet representing us, right? It's kind of the earth and then of heaven. And I felt like God say to me, just put them together And what do you have? You have this attraction, right? If you can see that, very simple, not rocket science, you know, with magnets, there's a North Pole and there's a South Pole. And if you align the poles properly, they go like this. Now, oh, that's cool. And then I had this scripture verse that came into mind. And this is what kind of started this whole unpacking what I want to share tonight. And it comes from James chapter 4, verse 6. And of course, the title that I settled on for tonight was The Gift of Grace. But the secondary title that I was thinking about is Learning to Live as a Grace Magnet. Okay, so that's kind of the point. And James 4:6 just basically says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So that was the scripture that God dropped in my heart. And he said, Barry, just take a look at how magnets, and you know, I don't want to say the law of attraction, because I know there's all kinds of new age stuff about that out there. But when you talk about just physics and you talk about the attraction of a magnet, right? North to south and south to north. It's not rocket science. It's incredibly simple, right? So if you look at the way that magnets work, it's very easy when the magnets are aligned. So he said, this is like to be a grace magnet. If we want to be in a place in our life that we are to be a grace magnet, you know, all we need to do is have a humble heart, right? God gives grace to the humble. And then the opposite of that, right? Okay, so we turn the polarities around, and what do we get? Like, they're not lined up. So now, if God gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud, this is, okay, so I am doing my best to try to line these two up. This is only plastic magnets with magnets at the end. No matter what I can do, it won't line up, right? So this is when we walk in pride, when we walk in, you know, the origin of self, the origin of the independence and self-sufficiency and our own strength and our own abilities. And when we're trying to manage life, it's like this is what we're running into. When the simple, like, no, and if I had a poll out there right now to anybody who's watching this, and I said, does anybody want God to resist you, right? He resists the proud. There would not be one hand that would go up, right? So when we look at when we walk in this place of opposition to the kingdom, what actually repels the kingdom, it's anything of pride in our life, right? Anything of our self independence and strength and all those things. And often, you know, when we look at even just the problems that Jesus experienced in the Gospels, it wasn't with the publicans and the tax collectors and the sinners. The problems he had was with the religious, the pride, you know, they're the ones who were trying to establish a righteousness apart from God. So this is what was happening there. But for the sinners and the broken and the lost and the poor, this is what was happening. And so this is what I just want to talk about today a little bit, because I truly believe that there is such a simplicity of life that God wants us to be able to move in our life, that it, you know, living our life should be the easiest thing in the world for any of us to live, because you and I were created to live the unique life that God has designed for us. And I think part of the trouble in whether it's the Christian life or it's in the orphan world system that we live in, is that there is this upside down kingdom kind of perception about what God requires. And, you know, when we go into that place of trying to manage life and trying to be competent and trying to do what God wants us to do and trying to do all those things, it feels like it's a lot of hard work. And one of the things that when we talk about grace, and this is where when God gives grace to the humble, Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9, Paul writes these words. He says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourself. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one will boast. And I just love the Passion Translation version that says it this way, for it was only through this wonderful grace that we believed in him. Nothing we could ever earn this salvation, for it was the gracious gift from God that brought us to Christ. So no one will ever be able to boast, for salvation is never a reward for good works or human striving. So, you know, this is the, you know, when I start to unpack this, and what does this mean? You know, when you think that grace is a gift of God, lest any man should boast. And so when I started to think about that for a minute, I think the older that we get in the way we live our lives, oftentimes we have a more difficult time receiving gifts. Now, would that be true for most people? If you went and somebody just kind of randomly gave you like an extravagant gift, it wasn't your birthday, it wasn't anything you earned or deserved, what is the feeling that can easily come? We can feel either, you know, humbled, humiliated, embarrassed, overwhelmed, not sure why. Like if you went into a coffee shop and asked for a coffee, you were willing to pay for it, and then the cashier said, well, I'm going to give it to you for free. You know, the adult mindset in us can have a difficult time with that. Like, I can pay for it. I've got money. Do I look like I don't have money? You know, or what's the catch? Is there something you want from me? But you see, it's the ability to receive puts us in a place of humility. You see, and little kids are absolutely the most amazing receivers on planet Earth. If they went into that coffee shop and they were offered a chocolate milk, and then they would gladly take it without apology, and they would be looking for a donut too if it came. You see, James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. And the more that we begin to understand the nature of God the Father, is he's a giver, and he gives and gives and gives. And our posture in this relationship is to receive, right? In John 3 verse 27, John the Baptist is speaking, and he says, a person can only receive what is given them from heaven. And when we begin to understand that the kingdom is all about us being in a position of being able to receive. You know, when Jesus sent his disciples out to cast out devils and heal the sick and raise the dead, as he sent them out, he said, freely as you've received, freely give. And little kids have an absolute no problem with this. And so when I come back to John or James 4 verse 6 and 7, I just want to read it in another translation, and I'm going to read it again in the Passion Translation. It says, but he continues to pour out more and more grace upon us. For it says, God resists you when you are proud, but continually pours out grace when you are humble. And then verse 7 says, so then, surrender to God. Stand up to the devil and resist him, and he will turn and run away from you. And I love the Amplified version of verse 6 that says this, but he gives us more and more grace by the power of the Holy Spirit to meet this evil tendency and all others fully. That is why he says, God sets himself against the proud and haughty, but gives grace continually to the lowly, those who are humble enough to receive it. You see, I truly believe that when the Lord spoke to me about this, and I'm just going to bring these magnets. He just said, show them the magnets. Just show them how my kingdom works. And when we begin to understand, when Jesus came, even in the Beatitudes, when he said, blessed are the poor in spirit, you know, for theirs is the kingdom, and the meek shall inherit the earth, and all of the promises, it's like when we are posturing our hearts with a very simple heart, with a very humble heart, where we know that every good and perfect gift comes from the Father. It's like the kingdom is actually drawn to us. When Paul the Apostle had the revelation that Christ's strength is perfected in his weakness. So that means when Paul was weak, he actually attracted the strength of God. When we are poor in spirit, we attract the riches of heaven. You know, when we are foolish, you know, in Matthew 11, Jesus is praying to his Father, and he says, I praise you, Father, because you've hidden these things from the wise and the learned, and you have revealed them to who? Little babies, for this was your good pleasure. So I just want to, my prayer, if nothing else, for this little sermon illustration, that there will be something of simplicity in your own life, that God will speak to you about if there's anything in your own heart where you feel like there's this resistance, where you're trying to do things. Like when you, it's to me, it's just very easy and very simple. And it's just like when we work, it says in Isaiah, it says that God works for those who wait for him. So when we work, I'm just changing polarities again. When we're doing the work, this, we get resistance. When we wait, then God works. In Exodus 14:14, he says to Israel, he just says, be still and I will fight for you. I mean, you can fight for yourself if you want, but I am a father. I have a father's heart for you. And if you would only be still, then let me do the work on your behalf. You know, we have a 3-year-old granddaughter, Zoe, and she's just an absolute joy. But she's got quite an independent little heart going on. And she wants to do things sometimes that she just can't do. So, mom and dad or grandma and grandpa want to do those things for her. But, you know, oftentimes when I go to help her, she pushes me away. And she just says, let me do it. I'll do it. And so do I love her any less? No, I absolutely love her. I'm very amazed at her perseverance. But what happens is she tries to do it and then she can't do it and she gets frustrated. Then grandma and grandpa are there, you know, ready, willing, and when she runs out of energy, to help her and to do it for her. And so I just want to encourage you in your own life. And, you know, we're all locked in and COVID, and you know, often we're dealing with things that are way bigger than even world systems and governments can handle. And it's like, how are we managing our life? Are we trying to be competent and trying to manage and trying to strategize and trying to protect ourselves and provide for ourselves? Or are we humbling ourselves? Are we just running to Papa? You know, because in Matthew chapter 18, verse 1 to 5, and Mark, I'm going to call you up pretty soon here. If you want to understand what humility is, you know, like oftentimes in a religious mindset, when we talk about humbling ourselves, we almost think of it in terms of self-hatred. You know, we think we beat ourselves up and we shame ourselves and we punish ourselves. But the truth of the matter is that is not humility. That's false humility. That if we want to see the biblical definition of humility, all we have to do is look at little children. In Matthew 18, verses 1 to 5, this is what Jesus said. At that time, the disciples came to ask Jesus, who is considered to be the greatest in heaven's kingdom realm? Jesus called a little one to his side and said to them, learn this well. Unless you dramatically change your way of thinking and become teachable and learn about heaven's kingdom realm with the wide-eyed wonder of a child, you will never be able to enter in. Whoever continually humbles himself to be like this gentle child is the greatest one in heaven's kingdom realm. And if you tenderly care for this little one on my behalf, you are tenderly caring for me. And that's the Passion Translation of that. And so if we have in our understanding of how life works, if we are using the orphan world system as the measurement of how we're supposed to live, we are going to be continually trying to do things on our own, and we're going to run into this resistance. But the Father just wants us to turn, change, humble ourselves and become like a little child and let him father you. Let him protect you. Let him comfort you. Let him encourage you. And in life where, you know what? You may not know what the future holds, but he does. And, you know, if we can just understand that when we just posture our hearts like a little child, we become that grace magnet where you and I live in the waterfall of his grace, where we have his strength, we have his mind, we have the mind of Christ. We don't have our own mind. You know, we have the simplicity of heart where we live a completely dependent life. Now, so I don't know if that makes any sense to anybody, but I'm going to call Mark up again if he's ready, just to maybe add his thoughts to that. So, Mark, what do you think? Is that a crazy illustration?
I really don't think it needs very much added to it, Barry. It's a brilliant, brilliant picture. And just as you had those two magnets, it made me think that Yeah, that's it. Those two. It just made me think we often feel that tension in our hearts, don't we? And we kind of wonder why do we feel this tension? Why do we feel this struggle? Why is it not just fitting, like, easily? And I thought, actually, that picture of those magnets is so brilliantly simple and incredibly profound, because, and it ties in so well with what Barry was just saying. Whenever we feel this tension, and we do feel it, come on, you know, let's be honest, we feel this tension and we wonder why are we not connected to the grace of God? Why are we not connected to Him? And, you know, Jesus said in Matthew 18, you've got to change. And the word actually there is conversion. Hmm. And it's a 180 degree turnaround. You know, you're walking in this direction, and what you've got to do is you've got to turn around and walk in this direction. And it's the same word actually that we use when we talk about being converted and becoming a Christian. Hmm. You know, it's that powerful a word. And I think as we feel this tension, what we have to do is just change. It's just turn 180 degrees. That's exactly what the magnet has to do. 180 degrees and then snap. Lock together. See, I was telling Barry before we started, and many of you will have heard me use this illustration, but I talk about magnets when I'm talking about sons and orphans. And it made me think, actually, what I need to do is go to the toy shop and get some. It's so powerful when it's visual. But, you know, sons are attracted to the father, but orphans repel. Mm. They push apart. And I think that's so often what we experience in our own heart, is when the orphan ways pop up again, there's that repelling going on rather than the attraction. Mm. And the key is for us to turn and change. And it's a change that can only come out of humility. Mm. And then we can snap together. I love the way magnets, let's have it again, Barry. I love the way magnets, they snap together. You know, there's that, the closer you get, it's like the faster they're pulling you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's like, and I've got some really strong magnets in my studio here, holding the colored filters on my studio lamps. And they're really tiny little magnets, but they're incredibly strong. Mm. When you slide them across to what they're clicking to, you can feel like the acceleration, the attraction. It's just so strong. And I feel like the closer we get to the Father, the more intense that attraction becomes. And it's, and then you're locked together.
When you say that, I think of the draw close to God and He will draw close to you. It's like, you know, it's like the magnets just go like that, you know.
Yeah. And so I it's an incredibly... I think it's a very powerful illustration, Barry. I was just thinking, there's a verse I really quite, you know, I talk about a lot in different contexts, and it's Titus 2, verse 11 and 12. And Paul is writing there, he says, the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. The grace of God teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, but it teaches us to say yes to enable us to live a self-controlled, upright and godly life in this present age. You know, and it's again, it's like the grace that is freely poured out from the Father to us into our hearts. It's like a little teacher. Mm. And it's teaching us to say no to certain things and yes to a whole load of other things. And, you know, it's like as we are aligned with Him, it's our hearts will find it easier to say yes to the self-controlled, upright and godly life. You see, you know, you've probably heard teaching on you must live a self-controlled life, you must live an upright life, you must live a godly life. And, you know, we all go, yeah, 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 rah, rah, rah. And then we think, I can't do that. And, you know, we try for a day, we try for a couple of days to be godly. I mean, you know, what does that mean? You know,
yeah.
How do you become godly? Barry, how do you live a godly life? I don't know, you know, and it's like we try hard and we're really enthusiastic about it. And after about 3 days, we've failed.
Yeah.
Because actually we can't do it on our own.
No.
I can try. I can't succeed on my own in living a godly life because it's a godly life. So the implication is I need God inside of me to help me live that. Yeah, I can't live a self-controlled life. I mean, I can try, but, you know, I will not eat chocolate this week. You know, and then there's the magnet of the chocolate that draws me to the counter. And, you know, suddenly I'm stuck to the chocolate and, you know, I've got the chocolate again. And it's like we think these things are so wonderful, but then we realize we can't do them.
No.
And the grace of God, the magnet. When Barry first told me this, he said it was the magnet of grace. I thought that was going to be the title of tonight's webcast, you know, the magnet of grace. And see what it is, it's the magnet of grace that enables me to walk in the freedom of sonship, to live like Jesus, to walk like Jesus. It's the magnet of grace that helps me not to live, you know, it's the magnet of grace that helps me to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions. And I can't do it without understanding that.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, when you talk about the power of the law, when you're walking down the street and there's a front lawn that you're walking by, no signs on it, you don't think twice. But then the moment that there's a sign that says stay off the grass, somehow there's something that says, okay, well, I think I want to stick my foot on that grass just because they say I shouldn't. And I just believe that, you know, this idea, you know, where it says in Ephesians 2 that we have been saved by grace through faith. It is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. And the more that we understand the love of God, the more that we understand that the Father is continually initiating his love. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his Son. That the Father has loving us and he's continuing to love us, and we love because he first loved us. And when we begin to understand that our simple posture is to receive something we've never earned, deserved, worked for, we could never, it humbles us to a place of and there's no illusion of you know, the gift. It is a gift of God, lest any man should boast. You know, I think of I even think of 1 Corinthians 1, and it talks about verse 26 onward. Paul is talking about the qualifications of the Christian life, right? And so when you think of that, right, you think, well, like, it may not be the qualifications that would puff somebody up and feel really good about themselves in the sense of their own self-effort. And do you mind if I just read that for a second? Because I just think this is the Christian life, and we might as well deal with it, because when we do, it's like we get into the waterfall of that current, and we're on an inner tube of grace, and we're just allowing God to direct us through his goodness. It says, brothers and sisters, consider who you were when God called you to salvation. Not many of you were wise scholars by human standards, nor were many of you in positions of power. Not many of you were considered the elite when you answered God's call. But God chose those whom the world considers foolish to shame those who think they are wise. And God chose the puny and powerless to shame the high and mighty. He chose the lowly, the laughable in the world's eyes, nobodies, so that he would shame the somebodies. And this is the Passion Translation. For he chose what is regarded as insignificant in order to supersede what is regarded as prominent, so that there will be no place for prideful boasting in God's presence. Now, if we are trying to draw a resume of competency and strength and self-sufficiency and intellect and all those powerful things, the the way of a childlike heart will just like that'll will just be repelled by that because it's nothing. It's foolish. It's weak. It's but I'm telling you. it's like the Father loves us either way, but if we are like this and we're trying to do it ourselves and no matter what, I'm pushing as hard as I can't get those things to line up no matter what I do. You know, when I'm trying to do things in my own effort. And like Ed Mark said, you know, the sons and the orphans, but when we walk in sonship and we walk in who we are based on the grace of what has been freely given and we have no illusions of the gift, it just makes life a little easier, I think, or a lot easier, I think.
Easier, yeah. You know, over the years, grace is one of those words we use. And I've thought about it. A lot. And, you know, there's various definitions of grace. You can look in a dictionary. You can look at various renowned speakers and so on. And I've tried to understand it for myself. You know, what is this thing we call grace? And this is just my journey so far, is really to say that grace, the Father's grace, poured into my life is the thing, the force that enables me to be free. And of course, freedom is another thing. What do we mean by freedom? What I mean by freedom is not the freedom to do what I want to do. Because actually that's not freedom. You know, the world is by that rule. I'm free to do what I like, but they're not free.
Right.
You know, that rule, that law of freedom is I can do what I please or I can do what I want is actually one of the most restricting things in the universe. It ties us up. It really does hold us in bondage. It holds us in prison. But for me, freedom is, I look at the life of Jesus. He was totally free. But what did he do? He didn't do what he wanted to do. Well, he did do what he wanted to do, because what he wanted to do was to please the Father. And, you know, what motivated him was to do the will of his Father. And so for me, freedom is not doing what I please. Freedom is doing what pleases my Father. And actually, the more my heart has changed, I suddenly discover that what I really want to do is what my Father wants to do. And it's not the selfish ambitions and the selfish journey and, you know, the Mark things, but it's the Father thing. So for me, freedom is being like Jesus. Freedom is walking as Jesus walked. Freedom is living as Jesus lived. Freedom is living in relationship with the Father where I delight to do your will, O Lord, my God. See, that's freedom, and that is so opposite to the way the world defines freedom. And it's grace that enables me to be free.
Right. Absolutely. And
I was reading last night, Barry, John chapter 1, verse 16. And it says in the NIV, it says, out of his fullness, we have all received grace in place of grace already given.
Wow.
Now, many other translations say grace upon grace. And it's like, you know, it's like you've got a layer of grace and another layer of grace and another layer of grace. And you've got this grace mountain. And there's always been added to of grace upon grace. And many other translations, they say that, grace upon grace. But the NIV says grace in place of grace. And I was thinking about that. I thought, that's an interesting way of putting it. But it's like we have a level of grace that we come to understand and we become familiar with. But the Father doesn't want us to stop with that experience of grace. He says, I've got a deeper level. I've got a greater level grace for you. And so it's like we get this new level of grace which takes us to a deeper level. And for me, that's taking us to a deeper level of freedom, a deeper level of experiencing his presence, and a deeper level of knowing who we really are. The Passion Translation says this. It says, now, out of his fullness, out of his fullness, right? So the fullness of God, which I kind of think is pretty full, okay?
Yes.
The fullness of God, by definition, has to be the ultimate fullness.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
It's out of that fullness, which is pretty full. It's out of his fullness we are fulfilled. Mm. So it's out of the overflow of who God is, the fullness of who God is, we are fulfilled. And from him, we receive grace heaped upon more grace. Yeah. And, you know, Barry, those magnets are wonderful, but you probably need, you know, next time you do this, you need two sets of magnets. You need those, and you need some really, really powerful industrial magnets. Yeah. Yeah. 3-4 feet apart, they're pulling you in. Because that's what this grace is.
Yes.
It's, I think many of us struggle to define grace, but we know what it is. And I think what we've done, what Barry's done this evening with that brilliant illustration is actually put a picture in front of us that we can really identify with. That God says, I am the Lord God, I do not change. Mm. So his magnet is always this way up. Barry, yellow magnet, please. The Father's magnet never changes. It's always that.
Yeah.
You know, who's got to do the changing?
Yeah.
Well, you know, we come to him with our tension and our frustration, and we can't connect with him. And we kind of, I don't change. But if you will just change, then my grace, my love will pour into you. So it's a brilliant picture, Barry.
Thank you, my brother. It's very, very simple, you know, but I think when we begin to understand how much we're loved, how much we're valued, when we understand the gift of God and the salvation of what Jesus did on the cross, it absolutely, well, I mean this in the very best way, but I'm humbled by the love of God.
Mm.
Like when I, the more that I come to terms with how much he loves me, despite my own weakness and my own brokenness and my own failures, it humbles me to the point where it just overwhelms me. And I just, because we're not conditioned this way, right? We're not conditioned to believe that we're loved because we're loved because we're loved. We have to earn it. We have to deserve it. We have to fight for it and keep it, you know. And when you think of, you know, even Isaiah's 61, you know, you think of this great exchange that when Jesus just proclaimed for us, right, that it would be healing for the brokenhearted and freedom for the prisoner and comfort for those who mourn and beauty for ashes and oil of joy instead of mourning, a garment of praise for our despair and a double portion of our inheritance in exchange for our shame. It's just like, what? Really? Is it, you know, it's almost like sometimes we think it's too good to be true, that we have to do something in order to keep it, to earn it, deserve it. And of course, Paul in Galatians saying to the Galatians, oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Having begun in the spirit, are you going to complete this with human effort? Like, you know, it's like we begin in the spirit and then we start going like this again and say, okay, I'm trying to do it. I'm trying to be righteous in my own effort. But he's just saying, just keep in the spirit. Stay yeah. there.
Yeah. It's too good to be true. Well, it is too good, and it is true.
It is true. It is for sure true.
Yeah, great stuff.
Well, it's, you know, and it's like, how do we see, what's the lens in which we see the love of God and in the Christian life? You know, when Paul says walk worthy to your calling, do we go and say, okay, what do I have to do to be worthy? Or do we say, okay, I'm a son. I am a joint heir with Jesus. I am not an orphan. I am not a slave. I am a beloved of Yahweh. And then all of a sudden, my head that's down low and has measurements that are of the earth, all of a sudden I'm lifted up and going like, walking worthy of your calling is living in love, living out of our heart. And when the Holy Spirit directs us, like you said, and gives us the grace to do the things that the Father, that pleases the Father. And it's not because of law or rules, it's because of love.
Yeah, absolutely. Brilliant.
So there you go. There we
go. I think you got somewhere with it, Barry.
How Papa speaks to us, right? And in just the, you know, just in one illustration, it's like, oh my goodness. It certainly ministered to me, but maybe, do you think we could just pray? I don't know if anybody out there is, burned out, stressed out, overwhelmed, struggling with the enormity of even our circumstances in a global sense, but I just believe the Father wants to come. And he just wants love on us. He just wants to that we would cease from our own works, that we would, be able to enter into the rest of God himself, to be still and know that he is God, and just to allow, he's carrying us one way or the other, but to live in the reality that we are being carried by God. We are being provided by him, and we're just weak. We're just little. We're just helpless. We're foolish. And you know what? For me, that means I qualify. If the gospel isn't good news, then it's not good news. So brother, would you just lead us in something that way? And
yeah. Oh yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's just lay the busyness of today aside. The pressures of today aside, the tension of today aside. Let's just let our hearts focus on him. We don't need to worry. Our Father knows. Our Father knows what we need before we need it. And he's with us. He's on our side. He's on our case. And so, Father, we just do open our hearts to you. And it is because you love us that you've made a way for us to become sons. And that's what we call grace. And so, Father, we just want to receive more of your grace, more of your love. Father, that you would comfort those who mourn, that you would be with those who are brokenhearted, that you would give peace to those who are feeling the stress and the pressure and the turmoil of life at the moment. We want to draw on your peace. Father, we hear those words that your son said, in this world you will have trouble. And don't we know that? In this world we will have trouble, but fear not, for I have overcome the world. Yeah. My peace I give to you. My peace I leave with you. And so, Father, we just open our hearts to receive all that you want to do. And we do want to be a magnet that is aligned with you. So, Father, where humility is needed, would you help us where we need to change, where we need to go through that conversion experience, Father, to turn right around 180 degrees, would you, by your grace again, Father, just enable us to go through that conversion so that we can be locked to you rather than living in tension. Father, help us to do a 180-degree turnaround so that we can be locked in relationship with you.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you, Father.
Yeah, and Father, we just ask that where there's been confusion, whether life has become very, very complicated, where the Christian life has become very complicated, Father, we pray for just divine simplicity. Yeah. That we humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord and you lift us up.
Yeah.
And humbling ourselves isn't self-hatred or false humility. It is just simply acknowledging that you're our dad.
Yeah.
And that we were powerless and you loved us. We were enemies and you loved us and you continue to love us every moment, every step of the way. And Father, I just ask even now that the revelation of your love would humble us. Not humiliate us, but humble us, Father, that we would just be overwhelmed even right now of the initiative, the ongoing outflowing and outpouring of grace and your kindness and your compassion and your mercy in our lives. Father, I pray that there would be a greater awareness, an awakening in our spirit man right now. That we would be aware in this moment how much you're loving us right now. And that there is nothing in all creation that can separate us from your love. In Jesus Christ our Lord. So, Father, we just take a deep breath. Breathe in your love. Breathe in your goodness. Oh, Father, help us just to, as Mark said, to have that conversion experience once again where we change, we turn, and become like little children again. Yeah. Wow. Wow. Yeah. Amen, eh?
Yep.
Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us in this journey. Thanks, Mark, for being kind about my illustration.
It's good.
And just a reminder, we won't be here next week, except if you want to join us on the school next week on the seminars. And but next, the following week, we'll be here. So bless you. Any other parting words, Mark?
That's good.
All right. Bless you, everybody. Thanks for coming.
Thanks, everybody.